But first of all, no speaker travels without their own practitioner. And I'm no different than anyone else. And so this morning I want to welcome up the practitioner, my beloved Dana, to do a reading for us this morning.
Good morning, Huntington Beach, and thank you for allowing me to speak for a moment. Thank you, sweetheart. I have a little reading, actually two. This one is from Joyous Abundance Journal, which is by Reverend Petra from Dallas and Reverend Christian from Seaside Center for Spiritual Living, where I am a practitioner. And it is called Falling in Love. And as I love my eyes, you might use my glasses. There is nothing more lovely than the first blush of love. The glow we feel and the beauty we see make everything in our life feel like more than what it was before. We want to be with our beloved, we love everything about them, and we agree with everything they say. What is this feeling but a profound sense of connection and oneness? We feel safe enough to open our hearts and connected enough to go beyond our usual limitations. It's delicious, and we long for it to last for a lifetime. This love is a human expression of the profound love that is the divine presence. Every time we allow ourselves to fall deeply in love, whether romantically or with a friend or a child, we are falling in love with the divine. This sense of connection and oneness is the truth of our soul's being. Spirit has given itself all it is and all it has unto us. We are one with spirit. We are reminded that we can see with the eyes of love, sing with the heart of love, and glow with the presence of love every moment of every day. Spirit as love is always already there. And one other thing I want to share, because oftentimes we think romantic love is in another level than the other kinds of love, but it's all divine love. And I'm honored to frequently perform wedding ceremonies, and this is something that I bring to each one. We come to love not by finding the perfect person, but rather by learning to see an imperfect person perfectly. Real transformative love calls us to pierce the armor that hides our vulnerable hearts. Love will push our buttons and challenge our strengths. Often our darkest places are revealed to be finally healed and released. No worldly act can match the joy of being truly seen, known, and still loved. It is transformative, giving us the opportunity to be the highest version of ourselves. High romance is not about hearts and flowers or society or routines. It is an audacious ride to the center of what is at the heart of each person. I wish you all that kind of love.
I'm going to move this out the way. That's what you learn in show business, get the mic out of your way, especially when you have a lavalier. Well, you know what, I want to start my talk this morning. If we could just go into a quiet place of silence, I believe in the power of invoking spirit. I call it divine spirit, and you can choose to close your eyes, or you can choose whatever you so desire. But I want to speak my word this morning that in this moment, in this very moment, that we know there is power. There's universal power that we can use. We step into the power this morning and the acknowledgement and the invoking of love. That's already there as we uncover the depth of this wonderful, wonderful divine trait. Each and every one of us steps into a knowing for ourselves in this moment with gratitude of heart and with joy. We let it be We let it be, and so it is. So it's funny, after 25 years, I finally get a chance to speak up here as a speaker. I've been singing here for about 25 years. I know every crevice of wall and every crack in the, no cracks anymore, but the chairs and the seats, and I've sung with some amazing musicians. And today I'm here representing myself in what I believe to be my highest calling up to this point in life. But one day as I was sitting on the beach, a beautiful beach, I believe we were in Santa Barbara, and as I let the panacea of that vision of the beach and the waves and the sounds and the people that were there, this thought occurred to me. The thought was, what is the most powerful energy force in the universe? Just ponder that for a minute. You know, I don't have a strong science background, so you'll know. I'm more humanities and the arts. But this question appeared so clearly to me. Well, as you think about it, I'm going to share what I think the most powerful forces in the universe. That's love. And if love is the most powerful force in the universe, why aren't we spending more time getting degrees in love? You know, I mean, this is the amazing thing, because we hear that whatever the problem, love's the answer. Well, if there's a situation, you just need more love in every aspect of life, but we don't have universities of love, so we don't truly believe that as human beings, I don't think. So that really prompted this study for me today. And so I invite you to seek to have an aspect more love within you. I want love today to be awakened more within you as we go deeper as to what love is. Well, first of all, I think we must look at what the engine of love is. And the engine of love is the heart. The heart is the most powerful organ in the body. It's the first organ to develop in a fetus. You didn't know that. I was amazed when I found that out. It has the greatest electromagnetic energy in the entire human body. The heart controls feelings of compassion, forgiveness, understanding, generosity, empathy, caring, and of course, love. This thing right here. The heart is a seat of intelligence, wisdom, and decision making. The heart is the domain of human intimacy, activating affection, warmth, nurturing, friendship, and familiarity. The heart is simply the focal point of divine love, your divinity, your heart. If you would engage me for a moment and put your hands on your heart like this and say, I love you, heart. Can you hear that vibration? Can you feel a vibration there? There should be a vibration. That's one of the chakras, the heart chakra, right there. I love you, heart. The heart is the seed of our divine spiritual essence. Love is the gift which can shift the energy of this planet. When your heart is open, we are endowed with an amazing capacity to feel joy, unity, passion, tenderness. An open heart stimulates and activates our highest aspirations, our highest ideas, bringing us into the most profound moment. As our brother Eckhart Tolle shared with us, that the now is where divinity exists. The now is where love is, right here, right now. When your heart is open, you align with your potential to have a truly extraordinary magical and miraculous expression of life. One of the greatest journeys that we make as human beings, I'll share this with you without cost, is 18 inches from the brain to the heart. Most profound journey we take each morning and each day. What shall I let impact my heart this day, in this moment? Well, the power of love takes us beyond your mortal self and reminds you that you really are a magnificent spiritual being. When you move into love and you move into the power, you move into the power of healing, you are the light. You know how profound that is. You are the light. Some of you don't believe that. But I believe as we enter in with the light, we transform each and every environment we find ourselves in. If it was a dark room, we would illuminate. But we know there can be dark consciousness in various environments that we may enter into. And we come in and we hit that with the light. We shine the light. I'm going to ask you to indulge me once again and put your hand on your heart, because that's where the power of the chakra. I awaken to love. Say that with me. I awaken to love. And you have to have feeling. So how do we describe love? Well, being a history major in college, you thought I was a music major, but I was actually a pre-law major in college. And singing came as just, you know, I didn't think you could make a career out of singing. I have to be a lawyer, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? And so Dad said, you know, be a lawyer. The family needs a lawyer. We need a lawyer. And so I was trying to be a lawyer. But anyway, my research brought me to a point so where I was looking at the Greeks. Under the perceptive eye of Socrates, they described 8 definitions of love. Eight definitions. And I'm going to share those with you right now. The first was Eros. Eros is exotic love, passionate, sexual. We're all adults here, right? Okay, no kids. Okay. So Eros. Then we have Philia, the love of friends. Brotherly love, friendship, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Number 3 is storge. Storge is the love between a parent and a child. That's a very strong love, we know that. And then there's ludus. Ludus is a playful, uncommitted love that you may have had when you were in junior high school and you had your first crush. And instead of telling someone you love them, you sock them. You know, that's how you express that love. You were just, boy, he's always socking me, or she's always socking. And that was the love, that's the way we express love, that playful, uncommitted love. And then we have mania, which is obsessive love. And then pragma, this is enduring love over a long period of time. Someone who's been married for someone for maybe 50 years. Well, today, maybe 25 would be a good barometer in today's society. But this is someone, this is the enduring love over a long period of time. And then my favorite is called philautheia. Philautheia, the love of oneself. And we can only love and care for others if we truly love and care for ourselves. Does that make sense? I mean, you can only give what you have inside you to give. If I have no money and my son asks me for money, I'm broke, son. I can't give you any. Well, someone, if you need to share love or caring, you have to have that. You have to be that already, you know? And so then there's agape, and not the place in L.A. where Michael Beckwith works. That's not the one I'm talking about. But agape is selfless, unconditional love. Selfish, unconditional love. And then I would add to this divine love. Divine love is the ability to see, to be loved in all that you do, everyone you meet, the love we give as a manifestation of the divine. Well, my first awareness of this divine love came, and I'll share this quickly with you, with my first spirit love musical mentor. Her name was Joyce Carl. She was German-Irish, 4'11", 68 years old when I was 15. She never had children. We had 9 children. And my daddy one day said, I don't know if they weren't on the golf course. You know, a lot of deals are made on golf courses, but this deal was made somewhere else. My daddy told her, you can have Michael. Take Michael. You can have Michael. I got, you know, 8 more at home. You can take Michael. I'm like, you know, I didn't find this out till much later, of course, but anyway, Joyce was a professional singer and had a marvelous career that was interrupted by the crash of 1929. So she had trained fervently and intently and just was committed to music, and then the crash hit. And we know that the crash took away, first of all of the arts. The arts were the first thing to go out. So she was not able to actualize her actual career, and she had sacrificed. She had no children. She was really devoted. You know that really devotion that an artist has. So Joyce and I came into each other's lives. I would catch the bus to her home in Hollywood, and I think it was in Pasadena. And so our day would begin with a voice lesson, then a piano lesson. Everyone hates the piano when they first start, I got to tell you. So if your kids, if you have kids, you know, coming up, make them do it. They're going to hate it, but they're going to love you later on. She made me play the piano, and with nothing but sharps, sharp keys, if you know what that is. You know, that's, we all hate sharps. And anyway, she would do, and then at the end, she would make me go in her garden and pull weeds. I'm like, okay, so we did this. What she did also was that she was a metaphysician. And she would say, Michael, I happened to buy some tickets for the music center, and I want you to see so-and-so. He's going to be performing. Oh, okay, Joyce, absolutely. So we would catch the bus to the music center, see a marvelous concert. And she says, we're not going. We're going backstage. We're going to go meet the artist. Oh, okay. Here I am. I'm like maybe 14 and a half. 5'10", 140 pounds wet. And Joyce is 4'11". Very busty. Excuse me. I don't mean that in a bad way. German-Irish. And she would walk like this, always had her head up. And she said, give me your arm, Michael. And I would put my arm and she would grab my arm. And so we would walk. You could see us walking down the street in Los Angeles. Just, you know, the two of us. But Joyce, we would go back and we would meet the artist. And she says, this is Michael. He's going to be a great artist like you one day. He's going to be a great artist like you. Joyce, what are you talking about? Every time we went to a performance, she would do this to me. She said, oh, by the way, you know you're going to college. I'm number 6 in a family of 9 kids. Number 6. She said, oh, you know, no one's going to college yet. Oh, you know you're going to college. Well, I thought I'd go to college. I'd be a basketball player. You know, I love basketball. I'm a gym rat. I was a gym rat growing up. And then, you know, I have the blisters on my feet still from playing basketball so much. She said, you know you're going to college. Oh, okay, Joyce. Oh, you need a piano. We're going to walk, there's a piano place on Melrose, right on Western and between Melrose and Beverly Boulevard. And we walked that and we looked at every piano, upright piano, and we came out with this antique piano that she bought for me. She said, you need a piano. And that's when my journey began. She showed love not through words, but through deeds. She was my guiding light. I graduated from UCLA. She was there. She was so proud of me. And she was the first one who showed me what divine love is. And she gave me a little book when I was, shortly after I met her, it was called I Am. I Am. I'm like, this, what is this, a third grade book? I Am, the I Am book? What is, it was the most profound insight. And I just read it. I had no idea what it was talking about. It could have been German, it could have been Russian. The way I was reading, I didn't have the mind. But guess what? I had this. So it got inside here. She was clever. She was clever. It got inside here. And that led me into my journey here. So anyway, Joyce showed me the lesson, this divine love. It was an important lesson for me as well. But there's also, I want to talk about self-love for a minute. When you think about getting on the airplane and the attendant says, be sure to put your oxygen mask on before assisting your child. Or consider the instruction from all traditions which says, you are only able to love another if you love yourself. This is that self-love, philothea. It is a starting place. Mahatma Gandhi, who is one of my favorite characters in human history, said, you yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserves your love and affection. Amen to that, brother. But how does one feel worthy of love? How do we apply and incorporate what we know to be true? So my studies took me to another profound metaphysician, Deepak Chopra. Deepak said, these are the five steps for feeling worthy of love. Number one, believe in love, first of all. You got to believe there is love. There is a thing that exists in the invisible world. And one day I hope to come and talk to you about our invisible wands that we have. And love is one of them. You can't touch it. You have to feel it. You have to know it. You have to believe that it exists. Number two, don't limit your love to just a few people and deny it to others. How many of us do that? I mean, well, some relatives are kind of hard to love. I know. I got a big family, you know. But we want to let the sun shine and to rain to fall on everyone. Number three, make the search for love an inward search, inward search. So you have to do this journey for yourself. You have to go within, as I say, going deeper. You have to go within for this journey in the silence, in the meditation, in the quiet, perhaps. Number four, seek other people who value love as much as you do. That's why I'm here this morning. I'm with all of you. Some of you are extremely special to me that I see on occasions. But we all are trying to endeavor to make our lives a tapestry of love, to be shaped by love. Even if you're not saying that, we want to shape it into more love. And number five, believe in love as a powerful force in your life, as a powerful force in your life. This is a lesson that we must learn. Each of us must learn. This is why we're here. This is why we're here. So once again, I'm asking you to put your hand on your heart again for me and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, our marvelous founder and teacher, Ernest Holmes, I call him E.H. because we have it like that. That's the kind of relationship we have. So me and E.H., we often, you know, we embark on conversations and events together. And so he shared a few things with me today that I want to share with you. So be patient with me for a moment. Love is the healing power touching everything into wholeness, healing the wounds of experience with this divine balm. Today, I bestow the essence of love upon everything. Again, I know that this love essence is the very substance of life, the creative principle behind everything, flowing through my whole being, spiritual, emotional, mental, physical. I love EH. Love is the grandest healing and drawing power on earth. Love is the grandest healing and drawing power on earth. Who needs a healing this morning? I do. I need a healing. Love, love, love. It is the very reason for our being. There is but one ultimate impulsion in the universe. This impulsion is love. It is the pure essence of divine givingness. Love harmonizes everything. You know, every now and then, Hal and I will sing, and we'll harmonize together. We'll sing a song and do it, and we'll start to harmonize.